As always, if you just want the picture of just a speaker on your top right hand corner where it says view, it'll give you an option there that says speaker view. You can click that. And then when you want to go back to gallery view, just go to the same option and re-click gallery view if you prefer to do that. Some people do, some people don't. Okay, we're moving into Christmas, in case you hadn't really noticed that. And I thought we'd just have a couple of talks that will lead us into Christmas and leading up to the 20th of December, where we have our, what would have been our carol service with J. John speaking to us. But for the next couple of weeks, we're looking at a mini series called Waiting for the Lord. And this week we're going to be looking specifically at the Word of God as we wait for the Word that has become flesh to celebrate that arrival on the 25th of December. And one aspect of Christmas that is always with us, but is sometimes forgotten or ignored, is that there are some people who will be greatly missed. This will be true for many of us this year. Maybe a father, a husband, a wife, a grandparent, or a close friend has died. And when Christmas comes, we really miss them, and we're reminded of the beauty and the fragility of life. Afresh, we're reminded of the beauty of their life and what that meant to us, and at the same time we're reminded of how quickly life can be snuffed down sometimes without any warning whatsoever. And that's the first thing I want us to look at from this passage this morning. I want to look at three things briefly, but this is the first thing I want us to look at, is that the fact that your life is beautiful, but it's also very fragile. Isaiah verse 6 says, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. So I want us to look at the beauty of it, first of all, of life. God speaks about the beauty of human life in this verse. And God is the creator, and he has made everything beautiful in its time. Human life is a miracle. Human life is a gift of God's grace, and we're all made in the image and the likeness of God. So when somebody asks the question, what makes human life valuable? Why is it that you matter so much? What makes your life significant, despite what anybody else may say about it? Well, it's the fact that you were made in the image and the likeness of God himself. And the gift and miracle of life that God has gifted you is beautiful, Isaiah tells us. And no matter what anybody else thinks or says of you, that gives you dignity in every circumstance of your life. The fact that God planned, God breathed you into existence, that God wanted you to exist. You're here by the plan and purpose of God Almighty. You're not here by accident. The beauty of life, the gift of life. But that's not all, Isaiah tells us. Your life is beautiful, but it's fragile. Verse 6 and 7 go on to tell us that all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. And James chapter 4 reminds us again about the fragility of life. And he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So friends, this morning, in order to be able to live well, I want to suggest to you that you need to know both the beauty and the fragility of your own life. And if we learn and understand these things, it will keep you thankful, and it will keep you humble towards God. Thankful for the beautiful gift of life that God has blessed you with, and humble because life is just so fragile. the beauty and the fragility of life. The second thing I want us to take from this passage is that God is in control of your death as well as your life. Verse 7 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Why does the grass wither and the flower fade? Because the breath of the Lord blows on it. I don't know if you ever seen these, I don't know what they are, but what they're called, those little sort of fluffy flowers. They're not flowers, but they're fluffy.
Dandelions.
Dandelion. And you blow on them and they just disperse into nothing. It's a little bit like that, what the Isaiah is describing to us here. That where the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. So why does the grass wither and the flower fade? Because the breath of the Lord blows on it. And human life begins and it ends with the breath of God. The book of Genesis tells us that the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man, the human being, became a living creature. The breath of God breathes life into him. God breathes life into Adam and Adam becomes conscious. His life was breathed into him by God himself. And that is exactly how your life began. God gave you life, and it is in him that you live and move and have your being. It is in him that you continue to have life. And one day, God will breathe on you again. And this time, your life in this world will end. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Psalm 104 echoes this when it says, when you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. And Job 1 says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Friends, death is not a matter of random chance, although it does seem like that sometimes. Your life and death are in the hands of God. And this is true of every person. Good or bad, religious, secular, young, old, rich or poor, God blows life into us and God blows life out of us. Your life begins with the breath of God, it continues by the breath of God, and life ends through the breath of God. And for the person who loves and trusts Jesus Christ this morning, that is incredibly reassuring. Why? Because you know that nothing will happen to you a moment sooner or a moment later than God himself decrees that it should. So you can relax in that sense. George Whitfield says, we are immortal until our life's work is done. The timing of our death, he's saying, is in the hands of God. And Psalm 139 says, all my days were written in God's book before one of them came to be. God gives you life, God sustains your life, and your life in this world will end when the breath of the Lord blows on you. But in saying that this morning, I want to be sensitive and say that I appreciate and understand this morning that many of us, myself included, will be struggling with this concept. We would have known folk who have died young, seemingly needlessly sometimes, and before their time, sometimes tragically. And we struggle to make sense of that. Why would God allow that? Where was God in that? What is the sense in that? And these are questions that many of us, myself included, have asked. And I cannot give you an answer to those questions other than God has his reasons. And then we have to trust that ultimately God knows best. And that's how I choose to deal with those unanswered questions. Ultimately, God has his reasons. He sees the beginning and the end. And we don't know. And the Bible says that one day all of that will be revealed. Your questions will be answered. And when you're in heaven before him, then you will understand why your loved one at such a tender age was taken from you. And it will suddenly make sense. And here's one way that I suggest we think of our lives this morning in the light of all of this. I am to think of my life as a candle. You saw a picture of a candle at the beginning of the service. A candle lit to burn for the glory, for God's glory, for a short time, until he blows on it and the flame goes out. So with that picture in mind, what is the best thing that I can do with my life? It is to offer it wholly back into the hands of the one who gives it and sustains it. I've shared with you on a number of occasions. On our home, in our kitchen, I have a fridge magnet, which is currently on our bread bin, actually, and I've had it for years, and it says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What you do and say for Jesus Christ will echo in eternity. It will have lasting significance long after you have gone. So what do we learn from this passage? The beauty and fragility of Christ, of life. That God is in control of your death as well as life. And thirdly and finally, you can trust God's word completely. Verse 8, we're told the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Human life comes and human life goes, but God's word stands forever, Isaiah tells us. Children and young people will grow up, mature in strength. Adults will move through life and advance in years. Eventually, they will die, and then one generation gives way to the next generation. But one human life has been different from all others. John 5 tells us, as the Father has, Jesus says of himself, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So here's the great difference between Jesus and us. Life is given to us, and one day it will be taken from us. But Jesus has life in himself. He has it, and he's able to give it. That is why he says, no one takes my life from me. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. None of us can say that, but Jesus can. And this is exactly what he did. He came, this is what we were celebrating with the communion earlier on. He came and he laid down his life. And when he died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, he then took it up again in his mighty resurrection. This Jesus is the Son of God. This is what Christmas declares. God has become human flesh. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's what it means. That's what Christmas means, that God has chosen to reveal himself in human flesh through Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God, and he stands forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever, Isaiah says. And your life is a beautiful gift from God, but it's also fragile. So trusting in yourself is futile. If you choose to seize the wheel, as it were, of your life, piloting your own life, then that, may I suggest to you, that is the surest way to disaster, ultimately. Look into teachings and philosophies that come and go, or to people who live and die, is building your life on a foundation of sand that will eventually sink. God endures, however, and God remains unchanging. The word of the Lord stands forever, Isaiah says. And the Gospel of John tells us that this word became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas. God says to us through this passage, your life is beautiful and it is fragile. I'm in control of your death as well as your life. And you can trust my word completely. And that word became flesh, and his name is Jesus. There is a Saviour for you, and this Saviour is God in the flesh. God with us, God for us. And this person has done what nobody else has done or ever could do, because he has paid the price and secured the pardon. He offers you peace with God, the forgiveness of all your hell-deserved sins. Why? Because he's God, and he lays claim to your life as your Lord. And this morning he comes as we look towards Christmas and wait for Christmas Day. He speaks to you tenderly. He reaches out to you afresh in love. But he also speaks to you with urgency. And this is why we need to share our faith with our friends and relatives. It's urgent. Because your life, whilst it's beautiful, it is also fragile. Fragile. And the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now, this second, here and now. The next second, the next minute may be too late. You are here today, but soon you will be gone. And this Christ that we've been remembering this morning is able to breathe new life into you today. That is what the Christmas message is all about. It's all about a Saviour who can come, who has come, to change your heart, to renew your life, to breathe a new and eternal life into you, even today. If you haven't already done so this morning, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him, embrace him as your Lord and Saviour. Ask him to come into your life and make it his. So this morning, will you turn to him? Will you submit to him afresh? Will you trust him? Will you yield your life to him? Will you follow him? And will you rest secure in his promise that in doing so, all that he has now becomes yours? And that's the wonderful message that Christmas brings to us as we wait for it this coming year in 2020. So I want to give us a moment to respond now. In a moment, I'm going to play a song enabling you to continue your response and allowing the Spirit of God to minister to you and receiving that ministry from him. As we lead into that song, I just want us to pause for a moment and just look at our lives afresh. If you haven't received Christ, this is the moment to do that. Ask Christ to forgive you for your sins. Ask him to come into your life as your Lord, i.e. the number one, as your Saviour. And give him your life. Tell him that you want your life to... You want to make your life his now and receive his forgiveness and his salvation. Others of us this morning, I wonder where you have turned away from Jesus this morning. Where have you turned away? Where do you need to submit to him this morning? Maybe for the first time or in a new way? Where are you not yielding or following him this morning? What area of your life are you not doing that in? Where do you need to trust him this morning? Where has your faith slipped and you're no longer trusting God for something, for his promises, a particular area of your life? Where do you need to trust him afresh this morning? And finally, as we just wait and respond, and allow the Spirit of God to minister to us, where do you need him to breathe new life into you again this morning? Has your spiritual life become stale, your relationship with him become stale and monotonous? And dare I say, even dull or boring? Or is there another area in your life that you need the Spirit of God just to breathe into you afresh? This is your moment just to rest in his presence and bring those things to him and allow him to minister to you right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now. You might want to choose to switch your videos off if you want, and you might want to kneel or stand, whatever you feel comfortable with, as you invite the Spirit of God. And reminder again, please, to put yourselves on mute. Spirit of God, will you come now? Come and minister to each one of us. Come and meet us at whatever our point of need is this morning. Show us where we need to submit. Show us where we have turned away. Show us where we're not yielding, where we're not trusting you. Come and breathe new life into this particular area or situation in my life. Could be your marriage, could be a relationship with your children or somebody else. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now.